5:30, Tuesday, January 15th, 2019, calling meeting of the Kootenai Board of Fire Commissioners to order. First order of business. Oh, yeah, present. I'm present.
You're here?
Yes, I'm here.
Commissioner Connolly?
Commissioner, I like the disembodied, but I'm here. Commissioner Zace?
Chief Root.
Very good. First order, public comment. Any public comment? Second order is review and approval of the previous minutes. I'd love to be had a chance to review.
Commissioner Connolly, yes?
Any concerns?
Negative.
I have as well, and I have no concerns.
Then I move that we accept them as presented. All in favor? Pisano, aye.
Connolly, aye.
Zace, aye.
That's unanimous. All right, Chief, that can go in the file. Next order of business is Chief's report.
Responses for the month of December. We had 61 total responses, two fires, one chimney fire, one small grass fire, 40 medicals, two hazardous condition, and 17 good intent fault alarm calls. I also included in the package a year-to-date report comparing with the yearly calendar year periods, and we were up this year about 115 calls. So last year's about 805, this year is 919. So we're up about, 15%.
But I looked down the list, I didn't see any one category that significantly stood out. It was pretty distributed.
It was. I think a lot of it had to do with the storms last year. The snowstorms we had last winter had probably half of the increase. But overall, we were just busier. So we've been increasing steadily. So the year before was 782, last year was 805, and this year is 919. So.
Are the percentages of medical versus fire, are they changing dramatically as well?
I didn't run the numbers, but I don't think so. I think they're all, so EMS calls were up about 50 this year. So half of the increase is probably medicals, which is about, a little less than, we do generally about 80, we're about half. We're about half medicals. So it's about the same. So about the ratio is about exactly the same. Yeah. There's some other medicals mixed in and motor vehicle accidents and other things, but yeah, so pretty much the same ratios. Administration, Chris Dolly applied for and received the Senior Safe Grant again, so that's $1,600. She spent pretty much all of that last year, and she'll have a report for us probably next month detailing how the money was spent. How many smoke detectors we put in seniors' houses, and how we assisted the residents to get to it. And like I said, she did a lot of work and put in for it again and got it again this year. So that's a really good thing. We also are planning to, during this year's budgeting process and budget reviews, try to publicize some of that, what we offer to the community and the free smoke detectors and CO detectors, and make sure that it's known, people take advantage of that.
If I may interrupt.
Sure.
Did you also, so out of last month's meeting, we talked about the Civic Association's Currents newsletter.
Yes.
They're very interested in assigning us a spot.
That's great. If I could know what size spot, I would love to, what I'm planning to do is to redo my outline for your presentation and find a way that the outline fits into the current. So basically every month that we do, a commissioner's report, basically that outline is somehow consolidated, put it in a whatever format works for them. So
right. What I'll do is forward this report to them and say, okay, how would you want to format this?
Or if they tell me, how many lines, how many spaces, I can, because this is kind of an outline.
I know, but if they kind of see the
sure.
stuff that
yeah.
you might.
That's perfect. Yeah, and I'll work with them and figure out what works for them. So hopefully we'll have a new, every month we'll have a new outline for them to put in there, or I don't think they publish every month.
Is it a quarterly?
It's quarterly, I think you're right.
I think, yeah. I don't remember.
All right. Also, in administration, we've got a letter of appreciation. Is that door locked?
No, no, I was asking them if they... They were ignoring.
We've got a letter of appreciation from a retiring Barnstable Police Officer, Jack Corbett, Barnstable Police. He wrote a really nice letter commending Kootenai Fire for the services it renders and how professional this organization has been in his interactions over his career. So it's been posted in the station. It was in the package, too.
Have you had a chance to see it?
I have not.
It's an impressive letter. I was actually thinking we could put it into an appendix under the minutes.
Sure.
I think that the text ought to appear.
Is it? Did you post that one, Chief?
Yeah, that should be on the...
Do you know what it's called?
On the minutes.
Yeah, letter of appreciation.
There it is. Thank you.
I have it digitally.
Okay. Also, in administration, we talked about Open Cape before. I really have nothing new to report there. Turns out the Water Department gets free Open Cape. They've got a deal where because Open Cape's using their water tower, they get free connection through them. So there is no benefit there. And the initial reports that came back from switching our phones to voice over IP show basically a similar cost. They're almost identical, so we're not saving any money. The services would be better. It'd be better service, new phones, but the cost, there's no saving there. So we'll do some more research into that. As we look into security systems, there may be some savings that show up there, but there's really nothing more I can ask you to consider right now for that.
Hey, Chief, can we back up for 1 second?
Sure.
So I'm just looking at this letter briefly.
Yes.
And I know that there's been some work being done on a website, right?
That'd be a great thing for
the
website.
Well, there is some discussion about doing something, but there isn't. I wouldn't call it work.
Chris Dolly is maintaining a little bit of the website, but she also does the Facebook postings too, so we could put this on Facebook.
That's what I'm thinking, Chief. It would be a nice thing to get out there for
the community. I think that would be a great thing to put on Facebook. That's a great idea. Thank you. I'll put it on Facebook tomorrow. It's a great idea.
Chief, in the Open Cape, would you make a note to provide next month to provide the numbers that show the roughly equivalent cost? Because I'd like to revisit that discussion.
Okay.
I believe that the advantage in service and reliability would warrant our further consideration to make the switch, regardless of whether there's a cost savings or not.
Okay.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. I know that the Water Department gets the service for free, but are they actually getting the service yet? Because when I last spoke to them, they still haven't been connected.
I don't know.
Because they've been waiting for over a year. Just reliability.
They may or may not be using it. We don't have that information. It's just we were looking for the potential for cost offset that would make it advantageous for the Fire Department.
I'll bring back next time. I'll bring back a schedule. I don't think we'll have any issue getting hooked up in a timely manner. I have no doubt that we'll have any issues with that at all, but I will make sure I get exact dates and times. So.
Where are we here?
Training?
Training. This month we'll be doing ice rescue training, and it looks as though we're going to have some or do have some ice to train with. So we'll be all the crews will be doing practical ice rescue training. I'll probably be also out with them as well. I've got my scuba diving gear as well for ice diving, so we'll be all be doing that this month.
Do you know where you're going to do it?
No, I don't. It all depends what date they pick. Depends on the thickness of the ice. We like to try to find ice that's thick enough that you can walk on some parts, but not in other parts. Ice that would create a hazard for kids and dogs and things like that. The hardest type of ice is stuff that you can't can't quite walk on it, but you can't quite break through it and go through it, so it's a little, you know, half and half.
So you're looking for a pond?
I guess it depends on the day. Sometimes I would rather do it in freshwater, it's less harsh on equipment, but sometimes the saltwater, depending on the temperature, will be easier for us. So we want to find conditions where we progress from ice you can walk on and can't break easily to ice you fall through. So those are the
conditions. Because Shoestring is already frozen, has been frozen over for a while. But
right. Mm-hmm. So probably, I'm guessing saltwater is going to be the less frozen or the more advantageous drill site.
What is, I don't really, what is the, is it your gear, or is it?
No, we've got, I've got, gear? The department's got a set of scuba diving gear. So I've got that in my car, it's in the back of my car right now. So if there were an ice rescue, I would get my gear on and jump in the water, and there would be a Katuit firefighter on the other end of the rope, you know, like a dog on a rope as a tender. And at the same time, they'd be calling in Calm Fire and Ionis Fire's dive team, and maybe the county dive team. But the idea is that I can get there a lot quicker than the dive teams can. The dive teams take time to get together and get to the station to get equipment, but if we can get a diver dressed and ready and in the water faster, then we're better off.
That's it's still a four, at least a four-legged call, right? You can't go out alone.
No, you're supposed to make sure you have at least, the guideline is three. You want three divers for every dive you go on. That's the guideline. You want a diver, a backup diver, and a 90% diver that's 90% ready to go. Those are the guidelines. But the same as fire. So in a structure fire, you're not supposed to go in the building unless you have two in. You have two people ready to go in, and another two firefighters ready to rescue the two that go in. With the exception of, and it's the same with the water rescue, with the exception of known life hazard. So if there's a kid in the water and there's a hole right there, no matter what, somebody's going in the water, whether you get people to show up or not. And if there's a person that we know is in this room in the fire and two people show up, they're going in. That's just,
I see.
With known life hazard, then we can deviate from the known safety standards if we have to. It's not what we want to do, but.
So what's entailed with the ice rescue training? What do you guys do?
Well, the firefighters have ice rescue boards that are meant to progress from frozen to unfrozen water, and they can more rapidly move out and use the board to support their operations and float the patient when they bring them back to the surface. They're always on tethered lines, so they practice going out, rescuing the victim. We've got dry suit gear, so they all put their dry suits on, and we, you know, just putting the dry suit gear on is a practice. It's something you don't do every day, so you need to get good at it, so when you do it, you can do it quickly and effectively. And one of the firefighters will go out and play the victim, and we go out and rescue that person out of the water, bring him back in, and then we switch roles and do it all over again.
What have you done in the past?
Sometimes pond, sometimes the dock. We've done it off the town dock numerous times. We've done it at Levels Pond before. Like I said, it just depends on the ice condition. It's better to do it in fresh water because it's less harsh on our equipment, but it all depends where the ice is more. It's better for training.
When do you think you'll do it, in January?
I don't have a date. I'll let you know. I'll email you guys with a date if you guys want to come out and witness it and be part of it. It's
I'm not volunteering to be victim.
We can put you in the Gumby suit and send you out as a victim. I'd be happy to.
They call it a dry suit, but it's still really cold.
Yes.
It can be. Pro EMS report's attached. Next month will be a one-year date from the switchover, so I'll have a report next month detailing what the difference is. I honestly haven't had time to go through it and see exactly where we stand. Ionis Fire mentioned to me in a meeting I was with them last week that they're up $350,000 in collections for the year with their switch from ComStar Pro EMS. So we don't do as much volume, so we're not there, but we should be up. Personnel, nothing to report. Apparatus, the boat 266 is in the station. We took it off the trailer, put it on dolly, and it's inside. The guys are working on cleaning it up, doing some maintenance on it, and hopefully it'll be launched as soon as the ice is gone. Office owner apparatus 260, the new 260 pickup, got in a minor accident. It struck mirrors with another vehicle. We were waiting for a new side view mirror, but it was just damaged to the mirror. Nobody got hurt.
Mirror's in.
The mirror's in? Okay, you know more than I do. Hopefully we'll get that on quick, so.
Yeah.
Hope the decal wasn't damaged.
The decal hasn't been put on yet, so I emailed the company that does the decals, and I still haven't received any word back, so they have not had the decals applied to it yet. But no, there was no scratches to any of the part of the vehicle. It was just broken plastic, so, yeah. No, I know.
He was traveling in stealth mode at the time.
Evidently.
A cloaking device? I don't.
Yeah.
We have a line on it for that?
Also, apparatus 269 and 260 were disposed of. Chris Dolly put those on the government auction site. I think it was govdeals.com. We ended up getting $761 for the Explorer, which was pretty good. We also disclosed all the numerous problems it had. And the F-250, we got $19,850 for, almost $20,000 for the pickup truck. Yeah, which is phenomenal. We probably, I'm guessing we would have got about $5,000 for trade to get in, so we got just shy of $20,000 for the pickup. So
Chief, who coordinated that?
Chris Dolly. That was all her. She took pictures, she dealt with the vendors, and made sure that it met state disposal qualifications, which it does, and yeah, she did a great job.
Very cool.
Facilities.
Before you leave apparatus, you and I had talked briefly. In the event that something happens on the water now, we do have a backup with the boat,
We do.
Right now,
yeah,
right?
We've got the 14-foot inflatable. I think it's a Zodiac, 14-foot Zodiac with a, 25 horsepower outboard on it. So that's all ready to go. It's parked behind the pickup truck, and we can launch that fairly quickly.
It's operational. Good to go.
It's operational, yeah. It's not going to go through very thick ice, but...
No, right. You have to be open water.
But yeah, it's operational. You're ready to go.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Facilities. Driveway is completed. The ramp is, the handicap ramp is mostly completed. The guy's
is he curing that under that?
Yeah, he left, so it's completed. He just left a plastic tarp over it. And the idea is to help keep the moisture in, and it keeps a little bit of the heat in, the ground heat in, so it gives it a longer time to cure, which makes it a stronger concrete. So, but it is completed, all the bills are in, we're just going to leave the plastic on for another day or two, and then we'll take it off and give the driveway a pressure wash. But a lot of work on the guy's behalf, and my son, actually, Chris, they were out there with jackhammers and sledgehammers on duty, breaking it up and disposing of it. So that was saved us a lot of money. I think we paid under $2,000 for the handicap ramp. And local mason, Ross Nickerson, came in and did the work extremely efficiently and inexpensively for us. So he helped pour the concrete with our on-duty crew, especially Joe Pouliot. He helped him out and put the granite step in to make it flat. So it came out pretty nice.
So with the driveway, the lines, and the handicap ramp, we got it in under the amount that we had requested, right?
Yeah, I think we've got about $16,000 remaining in that budget item article. We're hoping to finish up the handicap ramp, the wooden ramp.
Mm-hmm.
There's some damage to that, and we're getting some quotes on fixing that up. There's some, a lot of the wood is kind of dry and cracking, and there's some splinter issues of people walking up the ramp. So as soon as the weather warms up, we've got someone that's willing to do that, and we're getting some prices on that.
That cross tread is all Trex, which will be
it
reusable,
is.
But it's buckled in a couple of places. It looks like when it was laid down, that underwood
swelled. Can't quite see exactly, but it's under the base that's towards the concrete, and we think the hangers rotted out, and the pressure treated wood dropped, so it lost its support underneath. So we believe we pull the Trex up and put some new hangers in, or new concrete supports in the end, maybe a couple new pieces of pressure treated, but I don't think we're looking at a major job, just a little bit of kind of sprucing it up, some paint. The carpenter I talked to suggested capping the handrails with composite so that it's not old pressure treated that's got splinters. And the guys are going to start working on the metal handrail. Lieutenant McNamara said he was going to work on sanding that down, having that all repainted, so when they come in the spring, that part will be done too. So,
very good.
Yeah, getting there. Still haven't gone out for quotes on the roofs yet. We're working on that. It's kind of taken a while. I apologize, but we'll get that done shortly. And we still haven't got any real prices on station security. I think we may roll the station security into one of the articles that we might go for next year, which I'll talk about in a minute. What else for old business? I want to talk about, well, I guess we can talk about this under old business. The boat naming contest, should I talk about that now real quick?
Sure.
Before you go on facility, water heater?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot to put that on there. That kind of came up last minute. So last time we talked, we had two quotes for a water heater. One was $9,800, one was $10,000. The quotes are on the file online.
Yes.
I think we probably asked about 10 plumbers for quotes. We only end up getting three. Commissioner Conley gave me the name of two plumbers he recommended, and one of the two came through with a price of $4,800. So about half. For the same 75-gallon commercial water heater. So we asked them to go forward with it, and like I said, unfortunately, we only could get three quotes, and we asked literally 10 different plumbers. Some no-showed, some showed up and never submitted quotes, some showed up and said, the next, but we're not interested. But we did, thanks to Commissioner Conley, we did much better. We saved about $5,000, so.
Good job, Kev.
Yep.
I don't understand how the bid can be that much lower, because the commercial price for the unit itself was on the order of $4,000.
Yeah, no, we looked it up online. It was $3,000 or $4,000 quickly when we looked up. I think a lot of plumbers right now are so busy, they're just taking their prices and doubling them, and they don't want the business, and they figured, probably half the people they get quotes to take them up on it, so they don't want the business.
Uh-huh. He must have a good inside contact for the
water. We're sure that Kevin's guy has got the same water heater.
We got great recommendations, and yeah, I think we're good to go, so.
Yeah, so full disclosure here, Chief, I'm not sure that this is one of the guys I gave you. If you're talking about the one that's the fuel company, is that who you went with?
We went with the one from the fuel company, yeah. His name was
It was Cardoza?
Cardoza, yeah, but he must work through them.
Oh, okay, so he works through them.
Yeah, so okay. They're the ones that do his quotes and maintain his bills, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
They're out of Falmouth, aren't they?
They are, actually.
I believe
so,
yeah. Yeah.
But good. Glad that worked out then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it worked out great.
We were going to go back up to 266 and talk about the naming contest.
Yeah, okay. I guess we do that at old business, right, if that's okay with you. And then, boat naming contest. So it's been announced on the Facebook page. We're waiting for the Caduceus Currents to come out. The next one, I think, is in April and March, and we'll have something in there.
Yeah.
I think Chris has talked to them. My daughter actually did a poster working with Chris, and they're going to put those up in the schools and the coop, maybe the kettle hoe, sort of put those up this week. I think we've only got six names submitted so far. But
do we have a closing date for submissions?
We specced out the closing date of the commissioner's meeting before, I forget what it was, the commissioner's meeting before the annual district meeting. So my thought was, and
Chris, could you laugh, buddy?
Apologize. some music for your entertainment.
Right.
Turn the whole off, Chris. Turn the whole thing off, all right?
If we do early May or May 1st, then we would have a chance to look at the submissions before the May meeting.
Right. I was hoping you could make a decision at your last commissioner's meeting before the annual district meeting, and then we could
Which would be
the May meeting, and then announce at the annual district meeting who the winner is. So part of the annual district meeting would be announce the winner, announce the new name of the boat. So that was my hope. That's what we publicized.
Yeah.
Hoping you're good with it, because I just made that up. So I figure that makes sense. We can do it at a bigger meeting.
If we don't like any of the names, we'll just make one up on the spot.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, you could do that.
And we get to go for ice cream.
Yeah, you go for ice cream. Perfect. Or give this prize to yourself. That's all I get till we get to new business.
Yeah. Price Waterhouse disqualify us.
Probably, yeah. Conflict of interest law, you look at that, maybe there's, maybe it won't fit in there.
Connolly's Cruiser, I'm just saying.
Just, yeah, alliterative.
All right, I don't have any old business, other than that, on the agenda. New business, we are into budget prep season. So by the end of February, we have to have our budget proposal for submission to the Prudential Committee. So I will be working with the chief on drawing things up. I would recommend that both of you find times to stop in and review with him and bring any suggestions that you have, because in our February meeting, I would like to look at an interim in progress.
Okay. And as far as you want to talk about maybe some of the articles we were thinking of? So one of the articles we talked about before was the Scott Air Packs. The intention was to do half the packs last year and half this year. So that would be one of the, and it would be a little less money because it would be six packs but less bottles. We ended up going for the money last year for most of the bottles because they expired. And we do have the borrowed packs from IPS, the state companies that state contract for the packs. They have given us bottles that expire in July to use for free. So we've got bottles that, for nothing to get us by until we can get one, two sets all in the same specs. And then the other budget or article I was considering and considering asking for and talking about was a station renovation article. And this may or may not go away depending on what the Prudential Committee is doing. So the Prudential Committee is doing a facilities study, and depending on what that study produces and recommends, part of it might be to incorporate district space into the fire station and do some rehab to the fire station at the same time. If it does not, and they decide to build a separate facility, our facility has some desperately needed renovation work. Our kitchen is barely usable. There's some carpets that are falling apart. Not major stuff, but there's some things I would be looking for some funds for. There's a
I'll come in and talk to you.
Yeah, we can talk about that. And this is just some ideas to talk about. There's a garage in the next door property that we do some storage in, but it's the doors are literally falling off the hinges over there. So,
and Fran has said that that's already on the Prudential Committee's radar. The
right,
garage
that's,
doors.
It's Prudential property, I guess, or district property. So, but we both use it. So, if we could somehow have a joint article that says let's fix it up and throw some electric and heat in it and make it usable, I think that makes sense too. So, and that's all I can think of right now for articles. It wasn't in the budget itself. I don't see dramatic changes from what we had from last year. I don't think we'll be very similar to what we were, unless the commission has decided something different.
Yeah, the renovation part will really hinge on when we get this report back from the engineering architectural firm that's right. Coming back to Prudential first, but Fran said she would shoot us a word.
They're coming
they
in
it.
On the, they're looking for dates, I think, in February, looking February 5th and 6th. They're coming back with some preliminary ideas that they've invited me to come to the meeting and take a look at.
When you get a date on that, will you let me know?
Yes, yes.
Chief, it sounds like based on that date, it might be worthwhile now to start engaging in some conversations with somebody, right? Whether it's a contractor or whoever else to start getting some estimates on pricing.
They're going to do that. That's part of their job. Part of the bid that they got was to come back with budgetary pricing for the whatever recommendation they have. So they're going to.
No, I understand that. I'm talking about for the work that you're thinking about.
Yes, for our work. Yeah, absolutely. For our work and our. You're right. If this doesn't go through or they do something different that doesn't involve us, we need to start getting budgetary pricing and some real numbers on carpeting and kitchen work and other stuff. You're right.
Right,
absolutely.
Based on the timing of the budget, I would prefer that we not wait to start doing that work.
No, we need to start tomorrow, really. Yeah.
Well, the engineering outfit is looking at a proposal, one option,
which would involve a good deal of restructuring of the fire station.
Right.
And so a lot of that would happen as a bundled package. So trying to get quotes on the piecemeal work that we would do if they don't go with that option and they go with a completely independent structure.
Right.
We're asking people to bid on some pretty hypothetical.
We are, but it's probably gonna have value to the Prudential as well. So the Prudential committee may say, you know what, these are our two options. One is to incorporate the fire station, and one is to do our own independent facility. If they say, wait a minute, if we go independent, then the district's also gonna have to spend another $50,000 to $100,000 on station renovation. If we go do it together, then we can save some money there too. So it's, I think it's value. You're right. I think we probably should get some as close to possible numbers as we can, some estimates, and it's got some value in the conversation as to where the district decide how they decide to proceed.
And if they don't decide to proceed, we have numbers on already prepped for the budget that we could put in, rather than waiting to February and scurrying around trying to figure out what it is.
No, we got to start that now. So it takes a while.
That's
to get
a
those
good
numbers
point.
Too.
Because it would go in, it would go in as an independent article.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, this is something that we can't just go for the money and ask for. We have to convince you, but we also have to convince the public, especially for the Prudential. If they're looking for district space, there's going to probably need a pretty big PR campaign to get the information, get people towards the station, talk about what it is now and what we're looking for and why they're looking for it. So.
Next 10 days, I can get over there.
Okay, that'd be great.
But let's start drawing up a list then of the specifics, in-house changes that, in some kind of order of priority, that we can start to cost estimate in advance of this report back.
Okay.
Last item that I have is the conflict of interest training. Did you already do yours?
No.
Okay.
No. I had a conflict of interest.
How often do you have to do that?
Every two years.
You're
so
good.
You
too.
And I
went to
good
the,
from last
I went to
year.
The link that you sent.
Yeah.
I was
so we have another
see if
year.
I could do that before coming. I looked at it and said, oh, this is going to.
No, I might. I forgot now. I think it's about half an hour probably.
No,
it's about half an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
you're a speed reader. It took me about an hour to go through. Because I had to write the notes on my palm of my hand for the quiz at the end. You know.
Okay.
So I will do that. My schedule is such that I could probably get it done tomorrow.
Okay.
In between things. I'll get the, assuming I pass, I'll send this thing.
Okay. Yeah, we just have to keep copies of that. So Chris is going through, right now she's been going through and making sure everybody's up to date. So all of our staff, all the public officials have to have it every other year. So. She maintains copies of those, make sure we're in compliance.
Anybody have anything else?
Yeah, one other thing, if I may, Chris. Excuse me, Chief. Sounds like Chris is doing a lot of things outside of what at least I thought was her original stated position. All very positive, so don't misunderstand the way I'm saying that.
Yes.
Can you pull together, doesn't even have to be for the next meeting, or it can be for even informal when you and I talk at some point, just some of the things that she has going that would kind of be considered above and beyond what was the original job description. Selling trucks online definitely was not part of the original job description. At least I don't think it was. Maintaining a website was not part of the original job description. So I just want to get a feel for what else she's doing.
In fairness, she updates things on the website. I mean, I update things. We're not really maintaining it. We are entertaining some cosmetic changes to make it easier to navigate and easier to post and easier to find stuff.
But she has done Facebook. She's
in
created
that case,
a Facebook
perhaps,
page and maintains that too.
In that case, perhaps you could put together a list of what Commissioner Zenz does as well, so we can make note of that as well as Chris.
We can. We can do that.
Well,
yeah.
Then we're going to have the details.
Yep. No, I was...
Clearly, it's overtime for a motion to adjourn.
Chris is just so Chris has been doing a lot. She's a hard worker. She's kind of glued the whole place together, and she's contributing in almost every area that we have going on. So I'll put that list together and.
Yeah, that'd be great. Please, if you would, thank you.
Yep. I'm sorry. Can I add one more thing?
All right.
You didn't dismiss it. January 28th, speaking of what Chris is doing, she's got a senior safety presentation she's doing at the Senior Center.
That's right.
So the Hyannis Senior Center on the 28th of January. She's getting some help from Hyannis Fire. I'll probably be there, and maybe one of the two people from our station. And she's coordinating a presentation to the seniors of the town, talking about our safe grant, what we have available, and some general safety recommendations for them.
You said Hyannis. Did you mean that, or Barnstable?
It's at the Barnstable Senior Center, which is in Hyannis, on Route 28.
What did you say, the 28th?
January
yep.
28th at.
I don't even know where that is.
Right next to the middle school.
I'll find
you're
it.
Not old enough to know.
Ah.
I don't think
so.
Right?
What time of the day?
It's at 11 a.m., 11 to noon on the 28th.
Great. Want to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor? Pisano?
Conley? Zace?
We are.